96.1 and 1270.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree,
you know, it's an emotional game, and you see a young man like that who just comes off the field, and he's pumped up. And there's so much excitement in the stadium. But no, I'm not cheering for that because he is such a great young man. He is extremely well-spoken, does great things off the field, obviously a great player on the field. I wanted to present himself in the best possible way and make sure that he's reflecting on himself and his family in a positive way. And he took away a little bit from the team. That was what he said yesterday, and I think that was a very interesting comment, and I think
all's well that ends well, of course. Another Friday, another problem solved.
That's right, Uncle Roger finally put his two cents in about the whole Richard Sherman thing. So now we can just get it over with, get on with the Super Bowl there. Even Roger Goodell, who had to use the he's well-spoken line on CBS this morning, yesterday morning. Roger Goodell weighing in on the Super Bowl. Of course, Roger Goodell is going to have opinions on the NFL. I've got opinions on some of Roger Goodell's ideas, obviously like the extra point bogey idea. And the Pro Bowl coming up this weekend. We're going to preview the Pro Bowl, and I'm going to fix the Pro Bowl later on this hour. So please be listening right here at CBS Sports Radio 96.1 and 1270 worldwide at renosportsradio.com. My name is Notch. Thank you for listening to Sports Buffet. Before we begin, though, I do want to mention that the Reno Media Group is still doing the 36 Hours for Kids Radiothon that's going on till about 7 o'clock tonight. And it helps the Children's Miracle Network. All the proceeds, 100% of all the money raised, stays right here in Northern Nevada and helps out sick kids right here where we live. People that need miracles, you can help give a miracle. I'm going to give you a phone number for donations. It's 775-982-5500. You can also go to renosportsradio.com. There's going to be a link set up to where if you're more comfortable donating online, you can enter your credit card information online. And please help out if you can. Once again, that's the Reno Media Group's 36 Hours for Kids Radiothon. All the money stays right here, so please help out if you can. 823-1920 is the phone number here if you want to get a hold of me. A lot to talk about, especially as we head into the weekend. A lot of things this weekend. A lot of football to watch. Not just the Pro Bowl, but actually a football game that's going to be worth watching. The Senior Bowl is tomorrow at 1 o'clock on NFL Network. Unfortunately, it's on NFL Network. If you don't get it, you'll have to go to the sports book to watch it. I'm trying to see if I can find a betting line on the Senior Bowl. There's some good players to watch. Unfortunately, one of the players that I would most want to watch during the Senior Bowl was not invited. I don't think Brandon Wimberly was invited to any of the games. Not even the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, which was last weekend. And their claim to fame, by the way, in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl is that one of their players made it all the way to the third round, got drafted in the third round. So that's something to hang their hat on. He wasn't in the East-West Shrine Bowl last week where Jordan Lynch stuck it up and pretty much guaranteed his CFL future. The Senior Bowl is the best of all the college football all-star games. There's some quality players. There's some quality players that made a point of not wanting to appear in the Senior Bowl. Carlos Hyde of Ohio State, A.J. McCarron, anybody from Alabama like C.J. Mosley. That's really good. Three of the best cornerback prospects, Denard from Michigan State, Justin Gilbert of OK State, and Joyner of Florida State. They're healthy scratches. That's the term they use. Mountain West has, I think, eight players represented. One Wolfpack player, that's Joel Batonio, the guard, offensive guard. I'm going to be watching him. 6'4", 315. He's a big boy. I think he's going to be drafted. Hopefully he puts out a strong performance. Well, I'm not just going to be watching Joel Batonio. I wish I was watching Brandon Wimberly. He's going to be a steal at wide receiver. Jordan Matthews is another guy. All-time leading receiver in the Southeast Conference. Other than that, he stinks, though. Raider fan, you should scout Jordan Matthews. Patriot fan, Jets fan. The Jets are cutting Santonio Holmes. You should scout Jordan Matthews. You should think about Brandon Wimberly also. Those two guys are both going to be great second-day draft picks, unless a couple of the mocks I've seen where Jordan Matthews goes up into the first. But Matthews and Wimberly, great second-day prospects, a wide receiver. Carolina could use him. after Steve Smith. Steve Smith's getting old anyway. But other than Steve Smith and Greg Olsen, not much for Carolina. Other players to watch, a lot of quarterbacks, obviously, because it's a quarterback-driven league. A couple of Mountain West guys. My guy, Derek Carr. I think he could possibly be the best quarterback in the entire draft. No offense to Teddy Bridgewater, but I think Derek Carr, who's actually a senior, he's more polished. The problem with the Senior Bowl, some of the luster's off the Senior Bowl, because back in the old days when private industries could have standards and actually set requirements for employment, like college degrees, nowadays we're so worried about, well, how are these young men supposed to make a living? How are they supposed to have a career? Finish college. Once upon a time, I actually had to have experience. At a school, I applied to a radio station in New York City. Well, but I didn't have any experience. I was tempted to sue that station for discrimination because they were discriminating against the underqualified. But the lawyer advised me against it. There are plenty of quality seniors, though. Derek Carr, Taj Boyd, Stephen Morris of the U. You got to love the college sports geography. You know how the Big East has teams in Omaha and Milwaukee. Stephen Morris of the University of Miami, Florida, is playing on the North team. No wonder our kids are dumb. Because we have the Big 12 with 10 teams in it, the Big 10 that'll have 14 teams in it, the Southeast Conference has Missouri in it, the Sun Belt Conference has Idaho in it. But yeah, Stephen Morris, University of Miami, let's put him on the North team. Taj Boyd's on the North team too. And Derek Carr's on the South team. Jimmy Garoppolo, there's a lot of hype building around this kid. He's probably the best of all the lower division college quarterbacks, like the Joe Flacco of this year's draft. I'm not just saying that because they have Italian-sounding surnames. He went to Eastern Illinois, same school as Tony Romo. I think I'll pass. Guy to watch, David Fales, San Jose State. He's played pretty well. He's got the stats. So that'll be interesting to see. Running backs, like I said, Carlos Hyde, probably of OSU passing on the game. Guy to watch for, Antonio Andrews. He's kind of like a Dexter McCluster type player. He's a little bigger than Dexter McCluster. Went to Western Kentucky, had that Bobby Petrino influence. But despite that, he still led the nation in all-purpose yards. And if you lead the nation in all-purpose yards, that means you're not just a running back. It means you can catch passes out of the backfield. You need versatility in today's NFL. That's why I took Monty Ball, who is a quality running back, was an extraordinary running back at Wisconsin. It's why it took him so long to actually get playing time. It's why he's still a second stringer in Denver, even though they kind of have a rotation. But no, Sean Moreno's really the starter. It's because Monty Ball's not as good at catching passes out of the backfield. You need to have that kind of player. And Antonio Andrews, who led the nation in all-purpose yards, which isn't just rushing and receiving, it's also returns. So special teams. He's a kid to watch for. Offensive lineman, I mentioned Betonio earlier. Chantrell Henderson from the U. Offensive tackle. He's going to be a kid to watch. 6'7", 345. Huge kid. He's going to be somebody's bodyguard next year. He's probably going to be a first-round pick. Not everybody that's a first-round pick decided to skip the Senior Bowl. Got a couple of really good names on defense. Defensive linemen, like I said, most of the top cornerback prospects that are seniors decided they didn't want to play in the Senior Bowl. C.J. Mosley of Alabama, probably the best linebacking draft prospect out there. He decided he was a healthy scratch for the Senior Bowl. And I don't really know if you can blame them because the risk of injury is too great for these kids that already know they're going to be drafted high. A.J. McCarron making a mistake by passing in the Senior Bowl because A.J. McCarron is not a guaranteed first rounder like he thinks he is. A.J. McCarron's pro ceiling is comparable to Chad Pennington's. To me, A.J. McCarron is Chad Pennington. And A.J. McCarron didn't have a Randy Moss to throw to in college like Chad Pennington did in Marshall. Play with Julio Jones, I think, for 1 year. But there's no super duper star wide receiver to elevate AJ McCarron like Chad Pennington was elevated. And wasn't Chad Pennington like a third round pick in the NFL draft when he came out? Had a good career. Solid and steady, if not spectacular. That's what AJ McCarron could be. He's somebody that won't shrink in big games, which is important. As we know, some quarterbacks thrive on the pressure. Some don't. AJ McCarron, at least while he's holding the clipboard during the championship games, he'll know not to drop the clipboard, which is important. A couple of defensive lineman names, and I know your team probably needs defensive linemen. What team doesn't need defensive linemen? You need 8 or 9 or 10 of these guys nowadays. They rotate them in and out. Pass rush specialists. I'm going to give you a pass. I don't know if he's a pass rush specialist or not, but he is a great pass rusher. He's really athletic, huge wingspan. He's a defensive end from North Carolina. His name is Kareem Martin. He's going to be somebody to watch. If you need a good run-stuffing defensive tackle, guy from my alma mater, University of Minnesota, the only Gopher invited to the Pro Bowl or the Senior Bowl, the Pro Bowl of college, the Pro Bowl of college players that decided to stay in school until they graduated. That's what the Senior Bowl is, the Pro Bowl for all college players that decided to wait until they graduated. Rashid Hageman, 6'6", 311. He's big. He's big, and he can clog the middle. And clogging the middle doesn't just affect the run. Clogging the middle means that it allows blitzing linebackers. You have to use two guys to block a guy like Hageman, which means that a blitzing linebacker can find a gap going untouched. It frees up defensive ends. You can do a lot of things with a gigantic run-stuffing defensive tackle that can take up two guys. So for football, even though there's no competitive professional football this weekend, there is the Senior Bowl. And unlike the games last weekend, a lot of these guys are going to be drafted and drafted high. You couldn't say that about the guys from the East-West Shrine Game and the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, even though, like I said before, one of those guys was drafted as high as the third round. Ooh. For some reason, I couldn't stop watching that game. There weren't any commercials for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Or was it National Rent-A-Car? The one where they talk about how the athletes will be going pro in something other than sports. You could say that about at least half the guys in the NFLPA College Bowl. The CFL Import Combine is what they should call it. That's not all that's going on. It's actually a pretty busy sports weekend. A lot of college basketball. We'll talk about college basketball probably during the noon to three show with Panama when Mark comes on to handicap some of the college basketball games. I will not be watching any college basketball this weekend. I'll be watching the Senior Bowl. I'll be watching the NHL Stadium Series. There are two outdoor hockey games this weekend. There's six total on the season. It used to be they had the Winter Classic, which was the marquee event for the National Hockey League. They have something called the Heritage Classic, which is a Canadian version of the Winter Classic. And they're having a Heritage Classic. It's in March, Vancouver against Ottawa in Vancouver, which will be great. They're doing four Stadium Series games. Two of them are this weekend. I'm definitely going to watch the one tomorrow night. It starts at 6:30. It's Ducks-Kings at Dodger Stadium. I'm not going to be watching because I have an affinity for either the Ducks or the Kings, even though I'm a Bob Miller fan. We had him on with Panama a couple of days ago. He was talking about how they're watering down the whole outdoor stadium concept. I'm not one of those guys that says there should just be the one game, because I've always said that the Winter Classic on New Year's Day should be a doubleheader. If we can change the doubleheader to a tripleheader in the NFL on Thanksgiving Day, if we can have five freaking Christmas Day games in the NBA, we can have two NHL Winter Classic. We can have an NHL Winter Classic day with two games. It's kind of bothersome that it's mostly the coasts that get these games. With the exception of Chicago and Detroit, it's East Coast or West Coast getting these games because you have tremendous hockey markets in St. Louis, in Denver, in Minnesota that haven't had a sniff of these outdoor games. Even Columbus with my Blue Jackets. They have a big enough outdoor stadium. They could do a stadium series game or a Winter Classic game. It's more than just because they're having two of them in New York this year. That's what bothers me. They're having another one in Chicago. The LA game, though, it's going to be incredible. More for the novelty factor than anything else. It's hockey, and you can't tell me there's hockey on and then expect me to not watch it, at least for a little bit. But Ducks-Kings tomorrow night, they've got palm trees, they're going to have beach volleyball. It's going to be amazing. They showed some footage of Dodger Stadium, and they have some thermal thing on the ice to keep the ice cold. And that's going to be the major concern with the game tomorrow at Dodger Stadium, the quality of the hockey and of the ice. In 2011, the Winter Classic, it was in Pittsburgh. The Penguins were playing the Capitals. It warmed up to the mid-40s, and it rained. It was raining during the game, which they moved to the evening. They moved the game. It was supposed to be a day game on New Year's Day. They moved it to the evening because they figured it'd be colder. But the temperature stayed mild, and it rained, and the quality of hockey wasn't as good. The ice was really squishy in spots. The puck would bounce around a lot more, which means it's harder to connect on passes. It's harder to control your shooting. And that was in the mid-40s. Temperatures in Los Angeles around game time are going to be in the 60s. So we'll see what happens. There's no line yet on the game. I looked. But I'm tempted, whatever the line is, to go with the under. They'll probably set the over-under at 5. But I'd still go under. I'd bet on a 3-1 type game. 2-1, 3-1 type of game. At worst, you get a 3-2 game and a push with that. But I'd be tempted to go the over-under on 5. Something else that's happening on Sunday, I think while the Pro Bowl is going on, actually, on Sunday, that's when the second Stadium Series game is going to be going on. It's in New York at Yankee Stadium, the Devils and the Rangers. But the Royal Rumble is going to be going on Sunday. It's one of the better WWE pay-per-views of the year. I don't know if that says much. The only match, though, worth really watching is the actual Royal Rumble match. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to follow the card on Twitter, and then as soon as they say that the Royal Rumble's starting, I'm going to access one of those websites that I go to, the ones based out of Europe where they don't have the copyright law restrictions that they have here. It's a little different when you don't have to pay $40 for it. The enjoyment level actually increases because you don't have to pay for it. It's one of those things, like if you go to a movie, and it may be a good movie if you spent the matinee price on it, but it's not a good movie if you spent the evening price on it, you know? It's like, if you spent $5 on it, it was a good movie, but if you spent $10 on it, it wasn't a good movie. It's kind of like that with the Royal Rumble, where there's only the one good match. The Royal Rumble is basically a battle royal, if you're not familiar with the concept. Two guys start out, then every 90 seconds, they have a new wrestler run down. And it's the WWE, so they take creative liberties with that 90 seconds. Eventually, 30 guys are in it. Whoever wins, you have to throw them over the top rope and have their feet at the floor. But the winner gets a main event match at WrestleMania in the spring, which is like the Super Bowl of the WWE. And a little preview for you. Usually how they work it is the winner of the Royal Rumble, there's a lot of filler guys in the Royal Rumble. They bring back some old school guys just for the novelty aspect, but the winner is either a big name wrestler or it's an up and coming wrestler who they want to give a big push to. And they love to have somebody start out early in the match. They pick them at random. The order is supposed to be random, but sometimes they do a storyline thing where they punish a wrestler. Like CM Punk in this Royal Rumble is going to be the first wrestler in. And that was his punishment for being CM Punk and something. But they make a big deal about the wrestlers that started as one of the first two wrestlers because they have to go about an hour or so to win this thing. Shawn Michaels did it. Ric Flair did it. Rey Mysterio did it. They make big stinks about the guys that have to overcome these odds, these storyline-related odds. So for this year, They actually have betting odds on this, on the Royal Rumble. The UK version of William Hill, I don't know about the US version, but I saw it on the UK version of William Hill, has CM Punk, who's number one in the Royal Rumble, at 7-2 to win. I think either he's going to win or Roman Reigns of the Shield will win, because it'd be a good way to push him, because they're really high on him, and it's also a way to break up that crappy Shield gimmick. They have him at 8-1. Daniel Bryan is 7-2. And Batista is the favorite. Batista came back after several years off. He's 8-13. Those are his odds to win the Royal Rumble. 8-13. Crappy odds. And actually, since we're going to keep on the Richard Sherman thing, because Roger Goodell's in on the Richard Sherman thing now, one of the betting websites in the UK, it's called Paddy Power, actually has Richard Sherman at 300-1 to win the Royal Rumble. He may be in the Royal Rumble because he is kind of a wrestling aficionado, at least by his interviews.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
See, he even has the whole terrorizing the female woman holding the microphone thing down. So Richard Sherman might actually be in the Royal Rumble. They usually have football players or other celebrities as part of WrestleMania. They might do it. WWE thinks big, which is a good thing. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl. Speaking of thinking big, I'm going to think big. I'm going to be radical. Roger Goodell, he's open to radical ideas. I'm going to fix the Pro Bowl coming up next. So please listen to CBS Sports Radio.
Northern Nevada's new home for sports, 96.1 and 1270. CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio, welcome back. It's Notch. Sports Buffet, getting you ready for the weekend. 96.1, 1270. Worldwide, RenoSportsRadio.com. That's the Twitter. Also, if you want to follow Reno Sports Radio, at Reno Sports Radio. Notch17 is my Twitter if you want to follow me, too. The Pro Bowl is Sunday. The Pro Bowl is UGLY. It has no alibi. Tying in with that Eric Clapton bumper music there. Not a fan of the Pro Bowl. Actually, I'm not a fan of really any All-Star game, not counting stuff like the Senior Bowl. I'm talking about professional All-Star games. Not a fan. They fundamentally outlived their purpose. Their original purpose was to introduce fans to players that they don't normally have access to, that they can't normally see. The first All-Star game in any of the major pro sports was baseball in 1933, because back then, radio was just coming out back then, and there was no interleague play. So fans at Wrigley Field couldn't, this was their only chance to see Babe Ruth, unless the Cubs and the Yankees played in the World Series. Nowadays, though, you have interleague play, you have satellite TV, you can see all your favorite players pretty much whenever you want to. Each league has their own television network. So that specialness is gone. If that was the purpose of the All-Star game, the specialness is gone. In the hockey and basketball versions, there's no defense. And in both of those, you could say the skills competitions are the more entertaining of the All-Star festivities. You could say the same with baseball also in the Home Run Derby. Bud Selig having to try to manipulate the All-Star game to where home field advantage in the World Series is determined by who wins the All-Star game. Which, other than Roger Goodell's extra point rule where you can bogey after the touchdown and lose a point, probably the dumbest idea in pro sports. Bud Selig's home field advantage. Best record. You remember what home field advantage was in baseball before the All-Star game determined home field advantage? It's almost as dumb as the All-Star game, actually. They determine home field by alternating years. In odd-numbered years, the American League had home field in the All-Star in the World Series, and in even-numbered years, it was the National League. Just make it home. Whoever has the best record has home field. That's how you fix the World Series. I just fixed the World Series, but now I'm going to get back on my soapbox, because I'm going to admit to you, This isn't the first time I've come up with this idea. I've actually written the NFL about this idea. I've been on this idea for several years about how to fix the Pro Bowl. It's radical. It's revolutionary. You might hate it. I'm not saying don't hate it. I'm saying just think about it. Open your mind a little bit. Just bear with me here. Because as we've known Roger Goodell, at least lately, he's open to radical ideas. Some good, some bad. Hopefully he's listening, or maybe somebody can forward this audio to him. I don't even want the credit. I just want the Pro Bowl fixed. I just think it'd be more entertaining this way. First thing you do is leave it in Hawaii. Because now they're doing something where they've had it in Hawaii for really while, for a long while, and then they moved it to Miami for a year. Just leave it in Hawaii. Everybody loves Hawaii. You can have the game during the day there and primetime here. It's all good. Just leave it like that. If you're going to tinker with something, tinker it back to after the Super Bowl. Having it this week, this weekend, automatically means the players that are in the Super Bowl won't be in the Pro Bowl. And by process of elimination, you would have to assume that if you're a player on a team that's in the Super Bowl, if you're a star player on a team that's in the Super Bowl, you're probably a really good player. Peyton Manning can't be in the Pro Bowl because he's in the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, pretty much any Denver receiver. You move it back to after the Super Bowl. Switch the Pro Bowl. Here's where we start getting revolutionary. But like I said, bear with me. All right? You got to think big with this stuff. You're not going to think big keeping it the same as it is. Nobody ever achieved anything great just leaving stuff as it was without thinking big. Switch the Pro Bowl from a tackle football game to a flag football game. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's not really football. What do you think they're playing Sunday? You think that's real football? Bunch of guys walking on eggshells. They could literally have eggshells all over the field because that's what they're going to be doing. No one's going to be putting forth maximum effort. It's basically like a flag football game now, just with helmets and shoulder pads. We have to tackle the guy. The Pro Bowl isn't football. It's dressed up like it's football. I'm not saying change the Pro Bowl. I'm saying end the charade of the Pro Bowl. And let's see the guys. Let's stop pretending that it's similar to the Pro Bowl. It's not a regular football game. The players don't want to tackle or be tackled in the Pro Bowl. Well, maybe the exception of Dante Whitner of the Niners. He might want to launch into somebody. Maybe we should keep him out of the Pro Bowl then. But they don't want to tackle. Let's just eliminate the tackling then. It's a celebration. An All-Star game is a celebration of the sport. So let's celebrate the sport. Let's make it a celebration. Let's get the players' helmets off so you can actually see their faces. That's one of the main things they talk about with pro football players, is it's harder to make stars out of pro football players, despite the fact that it's such a popular sport. It's the most popular league in our country, because during the game, you can't see the players like you can in basketball. Basketball has a much easier way to develop stars in the mainstream, because you're not covering their faces up. So let's just have the players just out there wearing a jersey, wearing shorts because they're in Hawaii, with the flags. And flag technology has improved to where it's Velcro now. You'd see some athletic plays, actually, because if it being the spin move back. You ever played flag football? Best way to avoid getting touched, getting your flag pulled, is the spin move. See a lot of guys doing the spin move. The chances of players participating will increase because they're not going to have to worry about even the remotest possibility of injury. Even a guy that has kind of a little bit of an injury that he doesn't want to tweak during a quote-unquote regular football game like the Pro Bowl is presenting itself to be, it's flag football. I mean, if you're going to jog, that's fine. You know, it's more casual. It's like the casual Friday of All-Star games. You can even make a tie-in with the Play 60 program that they do for kids. You see the commercials with J.J. Watt and Cam Newton? I think Drew Brees does some commercials for those too. You can tie it in with youth football, that it's not about violence. If we're trying to deprogram people to think that football isn't all about violence, and I hate to tell you, it's not all about violence. Football is a violent game, but it doesn't have to be primarily a violent game. Football is primarily a game of speed and strategy. Emphasis on strategy. It's why they call plays, and it's why they do flea flickers, and they do misdirection. Strategy. The hitting comes to intimidate and try to weaken the opposition, or if you're frustrated because you're losing. Violence isn't or shouldn't be the primary focus of football. Strategy, skill, and speed should be the primary focuses of football. And you can show that in the Pro Bowl, especially if you're making a part of the Play 60 program. And I'm even going to take that a step further. If you think changing the Pro Bowl from a tackle football game to a flag football game was the radical idea, this is the part that I think actually makes the Pro Bowl, it would make it the best of all the All-Star games. Since it's a flag football game, we have a contest during the season. Kind of like how Visa has their, you know, contest. You've seen the ads where Drew Brees is throwing the ball to some schmuck in the end zone at the Superdome, but they present it as this guy's catching missiles out in Afghanistan or something, and then they bring it back to just pitch and catch in the Superdome. They have the dad with Jim Harbaugh coaching his youth team. We're going to have a contest, the league-sponsored contest, where one fan of every NFL team is invited to the Pro Bowl as a player and is put on one of the two rosters. You may think this is dumb. You may think there's no way in hell I'd sign up for this. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people who normally wouldn't even care about the Pro Bowl. Some people who may not even care about football during the regular season. Maybe people that only watch the playoffs and or the Super Bowl. There's a lot of people that would sign up for this. It would revitalize interest in the game, if nothing else, because there's regular people in the game. If you're a fan-friendly sport, especially with women, you could make a co-ed conceivably, because they do this whole thing, NFL for women now, they have the clothing lines for women. If you got to be on the field, even if you were just making token appearances in the game, or even if you were just the lineman, like, you know how you take the geeky, unathletic kids in flag football when you're playing in school or intramurals, and you make them the offensive linemen because the handsome, athletic players, they want to be out running the patterns or playing quarterback. They don't want to be blocking. We're going to make the nerds block. Just get in his way. You don't even need to block him. Just kind of like pick him, like in basketball. Just get in their way. After they're done counting to four Mississippi, you know, just stand in their way. Make them go around you. Give me a couple extra seconds to throw the ball. We could use them for that. Have these big offensive linemen go out and run patterns. They'd love doing that stuff. It's about making the game fun. If you're on the field with guys from your favorite team, or even, I'll even go a step further, guys from your fantasy team. If I were on the same field with AJ Green, I'm not a Bengals fan. I like the Bengals, but I'm not a Bengals fan. But if I was out there covering AJ Green, who helped me win a fantasy championship this year, I'd be pretty pumped about that. It's just a way to draw interest. Because like I said right now, I probably won't even watch the Pro Bowl. The only reason I'll watch the Pro Bowl is because yesterday, or was it Wednesday? I can't remember. One of my previous shows, I set the lines for the Pro Bowl. I went over the rosters. I broke down the rosters. I think it was yesterday, actually. And I set the lines at Team Sanders 2.5, and Panama told me that I was an idiot and that he wanted Team Rice plus 2.5. So we bet $20 on the game, and I got to give him 2.5 points. So I think the only reason I'm going to watch the Pro Bowl is because I made a stupid bet on the Pro Bowl. That should tell you how lame the Pro Bowl in its current incarnation is. Just a way to fix it. It's about thinking big. That's all it is. 823-1920. If you're going to tell me why it's dumb, tell me why. Don't just say it's dumb. Tell me why it's dumb. If you have an idea to make the Pro Bowl better, something fan-friendly, love to hear your idea. 823-1920. Still got a few minutes left in the show, about 20 minutes. An insider in a major sport says that one out of every four injuries in this sport are faked. It's not wrestling. It's an actual non-scripted sport. What sport is it? And why do they fake injuries? I'll tell you about that coming up next to CBS Sports Radio.
96.1 and 1270.
The Black Keys, as we continue our Friday version of the Sports Buffet here at CBS Sports Radio, 96.1 1270. Worldwide, Reno Sports Radio. My name is Notch. Thank you for listening today. I'm very disappointed in myself. I just found this out during the commercial break because I teased the story about one in four injuries in this sport being faked. And then it just dawned on me during the commercial break that there was the perfect audio clip that I could have gotten, that I should have gotten, but I didn't. You've seen Caddyshack, right? Well, you remember when Rodney Dangerfield, at the end, the tournament where he's betting Judge Smales, easy for me to say, hits a bad shot, ball comes back, bounces back, and hits him in the arm, and he's, oh, my arm's broken? You'd be surprised to know. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised to know. One out of every four injuries on the PGA Tour is faked. They have these pieces in Golf Digest called Undercover Pro. If you're not a magazine person, if you need to look at it online, I'd go to golfdigest.com. But they still make a magazine. And an actual golfer, that's why they call it Undercover Pro, says that for every legitimate injury out there, there are probably three that are bogus. And you're probably thinking, why would you purposely fake an injury to keep you out of winning tournaments that make you money? Because you don't make any money if you're not in the tournaments placing at certain levels. This is going to be interesting to hear because you normally don't hear anything about this like in major, like team sports, but this is an individual sport. This is golf, but it's still major because a lot of people watch golf. It's really, really popular. This is why people fake injuries on the PGA Tour. Quote, you'll receive a disability payment of up to $10,000 a month that can be tax-free. Most guys on extensions are at home playing every day with no caddy or travel expenses, working on their games until they feel ready to return. And when they come back, they pick their favorite courses. If a guy has 20 events and he wants to milk it, he might play his five favorite events over four seasons. There's no limit to how long a major medical can last as long as you reapply each season. Which is weird, because has Tiger Woods done this? Tiger Woods had some, let's just say, issues in the past to where he took a sabbatical. Did Tiger Woods receive any disability payments? Would we have even known about it? They covered a lot about the Tiger Woods issues, shall we say. Would an STD be considered an injury that could get you a disability payment on the PGA Tour if you're Tiger Woods? Can you imagine the paperwork where you have to name the Hooters girl in question that gave you the STD? I'd love to see that kind of paperwork, actually. That's the kind of thing that would show up on Deadspin, for sure, or Smoking Gun. Does it hurt golf that guys do this? Does it hurt your impression of golf or golfers? It doesn't hurt my impression of golfers because I don't think golfers are really athletes. Just because you do something athletic doesn't make you an athlete. Let me give you an example. There's a styrofoam cup of water that's about 3 feet from me right now. I'm going to go take a drink. I'm going to lean. I'm going to stretch some of my muscles to lean across to get the water. Sorry, I slurped it there. It's bad manners. Took two swigs. Now I'm going to lean, I'm going to put it back so it's out of the way. So if I accidentally spill it, it doesn't knock over and ruin my paperwork or the control board or anything. Okay. See, I stretch my muscles, which is something that athletes do. It's an athletic endeavor. Does that make me an athlete? Have you ever met me? If you've ever met me, you'd know I'm not an athlete. I have athletic tendencies. I played sports when I was younger, but I'm a lazy button pushing, talking into a mic radio guy now. So it doesn't hurt my impression of golfers at all. What about you? 823-1920. Does this hurt your impression of golf, golfers, the PGA Tour at all? The Undercover Pro actually had a Tiger Woods reference in 2008. This was in 2008. Keep this in mind, though. It was before he had the issues. Quote, there's a guy who won the U.S. Open on one leg because he knew he could. But if your game is slipping and you just can't get things to click, maybe that wrist or shoulder starts to ache that much more. Kind of like the Caddyshack incident. Oh, my arm's broken. Can't swing club anymore. The PGA Tour needs to create a truly fair system so that young guys can carve their paths unhindered by those playing the game off the course. And the pro also says that the sport suffers because there's some young up-and-comers that suffer because these guys that are milking injuries for a while, they establish themselves, but then they have to go back to the back of the line when the big names come back from their quote-unquote injuries. Faking injuries in golf. They already fake being athletes in golf, so this doesn't surprise me too much. I'm going to take a quick break. One final segment of the Sports Buffet coming up here in minutes. Got to follow up something I talked about yesterday with the Raiderettes. More information about how the Raiders are screwing their cheerleaders, but not in the way that they were probably hoping. That's up next at CBS Sports Radio.
Northern Nevada's new home for sports, 96.1 and 1270. CBS Sports Radio.
One final segment before they kick me out of here, CBS Sports Radio. Got to mention one more time because I'm a good person. At least I think I am. If you have to specify that you're a good person, you're probably not. So maybe I should stop doing that. The Reno Media Group, through today, the 36 Hours for Kids Radiothon with the Children's Miracle Network. If you can help donate all the money raised, every cent of it, no administrative costs, BS, all the money goes right here to sick kids in Northern Nevada, right here where we live. So if you can help out, go to renosportsradio.com or you can call 775-982-5500. Please help out if you can. It's the 36 Hours for Kids Radiothon here with our Reno Media Group stations. Lacey T, do you remember her from yesterday? The Edward Snowden of the Raiderettes. Her real name can't be Lacey because they could go back and find out who this Lacey is. How many Laceys do you think have been a cheerleader for the Raiders over the last 10 years? Actually, maybe you should scratch that. Because don't they all have like the interchange, like Jennifer and Tiffany and Madison and, you know, the popular girl, the sorority girl names. So maybe there's more than one Lacey. I'd feel really bad if it was the wrong Lacey that was getting harassed by the Raiders because of this. We talked yesterday about the lawsuit that the Raiderettes are filing against the Raiders in Alameda County Court, talking about how they're being underpaid. They're not paid till the end of the year, which technically could be a violation of federal law. They're not getting minimum wage if you factor in all the hours that they put in. Well, the Lacey's lawyer came out with, she leaked the list of the different fines for the Raiderettes to the media. It was not considered part of the lawsuit. It wasn't put in the paperwork for the lawsuit. So I'm assuming the only motivation for leaking it to the media is to make sure the court of public opinion is in favor of the cheerleaders. That's the only reason I can assume leaking it to the media, but not putting it in the paperwork. Either that or it's completely irrelevant to the case. And you don't want to make the judge angry by putting a bunch of stuff that isn't germane to the case in the paperwork. These are some of the fines that Raiderettes are charged with, and this money comes out of, it is deducted from the $125 they get per game. Forget to bring But forget to bring including but not limited to correct pom-poms or props to practice? Question mark. $10 fine. This was basically copied and pasted from a Raiderette's memorandum that are given to the cheerleaders before the season, which is why I'm accentuating question marks. Wear wrong designated workout wear and or footwear for two-piece Wednesday rehearsals, special rehearsals, and or game day rehearsals, question mark, $10 fine. Not able to get bios in on time, question mark, $10 fine. How many bios do they have to do? Because you go to Raiderettes.com or whatever, and they have their little bio, their turn-ons and turn-offs, what school they go to, what their major is, what their sign is. Some of the teams give you the measurements. They're kind enough to give you the measurements. And they talk about, I love dogs, and guys that smile. I love a good smile. I love country music. You know, shoes. They love shoes. I mean, how tough is it to turn in bios on time? How many bios do they have? Really? If any female salespeople down in the pit are listening, they probably hate my guts right now. So my chances of getting any appearances are going out the window with this whole segment. Forget all or part of the official uniform, boots, and or pom-poms for any event or game day, question mark. $10 fine per item and or benched from game, in parentheses, minus $125. As if they didn't know that was the fine for So wait, they can fine you $10 and then fine you the $125 for the game? They're going to dip into like a future game? They're going to double dip? Because it said and or. They could get you twice. Boots not clean or polished on game day? Question mark. $10 fine. Shine them boots, ladies. Especially if you're wearing those white boots, because you get grass stains on the white boots. Failure to follow point number one under etiquette or appearances. Parentheses, game day ready, question mark. It doesn't tell us what point number one under etiquette or appearances, parentheses, game day ready is. But I'm going to make an assumption that being clean, showered, and smiling would be point number one. That's a $10 fine. This is in bold. Fines will continue to double if infractions continue. It was also in all caps. Example, because apparently the Raiderettes don't know what the word double means. Example, colon, a $10 fine will go up to $20 if you forget to wear the proper attire for a second time, etc. And they'll also bench the Raiderettes. If you're benched, you don't participate in the game time sideline cheering, and you're not paid, but you're still expected to dance during the pregame and halftime shows. The cheerleaders, you need to form a union. That's all I'm going to say. Notch, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend. Smell you later, hopefully. Thanks for putting up with me all week. Jim Rome is coming up next. I'll be on with Panama after noon today. Appreciate you. Go Raiderettes. Kick the Raiders' butt in that lawsuit. Please. Norma Rae. Go watch the Norma Rae movie if you don't know what I'm talking about. Oppression needs to end.
From the Reno Media Group. KBZZ Sparks Reno. 96.1 and 1270. Northern Nevada's home of the San Francisco 49ers. Plus Tiki Barber, Boomer Esiason, Jim Rome, Panama, and more. CBS.